Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5 real quick. It reminded me of the preacher that showed up in front of the congregation, and he said, I got some good news and some bad news. And they said, well, give us the good news. And he said, well, the Lord told me that He was going to pay off our mortgage. And they said, yeah. And they said, oh, but what's the bad news? He said, well, the bad news is the money's still in your pocket. Yeah, you've probably heard that before. But anyway, good to see you today. And I promise if you give us your mailing address, we won't be asking you for money every month. We just don't do that, okay? God provides. But I want to read you something, 2 Corinthians 5:18. You got time? Okay, listen close, and we won't have to take all day to do this, okay? I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, and all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to Himself through Christ, and has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. Holy Spirit, I ask that You just use me today, and just touch every one of our hearts and let us hear from You. And we thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for that. Today's Palm Sunday. I'm not going to read the whole text to you there, but it's recorded in Matthew 21 and Mark 11 and Luke 19. And it's the Sunday when Jesus went into Jerusalem on a donkey. You know, everybody pretty much knows the story. As we celebrate Palm Sunday today, we begin to reflect on a week. And when Jesus went into Jerusalem, this was the last week He was going to be alive. This whole week led up to the cross. As we reflect on this day, and hopefully we reflect and think about that this coming week. But you know, Israel didn't recognize Jesus because they were expecting a king to come and in authority and overthrow the king, the Roman Empire, because they were so evil. But God had something else in mind, didn't He? He had something else in mind. So instead of coming in like the kings and generals would, Jesus came into Jerusalem humbly with a humble plan from God. I got to thinking about this. Can you imagine what that last week was, that last 5 days? I just got to thinking about that. Don't you know that that was the longest 5 days of His life? Huh? I mean, because He knew He was going to go to the cross and be the sacrifice for all of mankind from then on. He knew He was going to go and pay this price, be this sacrificial lamb. He knew that He was going to get beaten worse than anybody had ever been beaten in the history. This crucifixion was going to be more vile, going to be harder, going to be worse than anything, because He was going to take the sins of the whole world. I just can't imagine. And what would your week be like if you knew this was the last week you were going to be alive? I might do some things different. How about you? I might not put some things off. I might do some things that I was supposed to do instead of putting them off. But I just as we go through this week, I want us to be aware, and I want us to be thinking about what Jesus did for us. We just kind of casually, you know, we just kind of casually accept it and casually sing songs about it and talk about it. But man, this was a big thing, a big deal. It was a big deal for me. Was it you? So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As they went, and everything about this story was a type and shadow, and so I'm not going to attempt to even go into that. Sometime we'll let Frank do that. Frank's a great teacher. How many's ever heard Frank Petrosino teach? And I just love to hear him because he has all the details and he goes into the types and shadows. And anyway, I'm not going to do all that. But I was looking at this, and I've been reading stuff all week, and it says that they laid palm branches before him as he went into the city. And I got to thinking about that, that the palm branch was symbolic of triumph and victory. It was symbolic of the final victory that Jesus was about to fulfill, death over death. Paul said, O death, where's your sting? And Hades, where is your victory? And Jesus is going in now to win this final battle. It also represented immortality. I didn't know this, but I remember seeing this even on TV years back. But in Egypt, it was their tradition that the people would carry palm branches in the funeral processions. And these palm branches, they represented eternal life. They were a symbol of spiritual triumph over death. Well, we know who that was, don't we? Huh? That was Jesus. That was Jesus. I love what he told Martha in John 11. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Anyone who believes in me will live even after death. I haven't ever paid attention to that little phrase. But he said, he will, if you live in me, if you believe in me, you'll live even after death. Now, I know most of us pray for the rapture to come so we can just go in the rapture and we won't have to die. But you know, the truth is every one of us are going to face that time in our life. And all you young people, you're just sitting, you know, and you're going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let me tell you a secret. When you get over closer to the going out end than you are the coming in end, you think about it a whole lot more. And I don't know. He said, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Never die. Oh, you have loved ones that have gone on. They didn't die. They went to sleep. But when they opened their eyes, they were with Jesus. So I guess what I'm saying is the older I get, the more those scriptures mean to me. Huh? I'm excited about going to heaven. I'm just a little nervous about the trip. How about you? Come on, be honest. Be honest. But most of all, these palm branches, they represented victory, but they also represented goodness, the goodness of Jesus. I couldn't help but reflect on the goodness of God, grace. We talked about that last week. But can you see, here comes the sacrifice. The sacrifice for all of mankind. And you know, we all deserve judgment. Huh? How many know that? We all have been separated from God because of sin. We all deserve judgment because of sin. And not necessarily even the sins we've committed. We know we do for those, but just the sin nature that we're born with. But you know, God loved us so much, and in His goodness, He wanted us back. He wanted us back so badly, so muchly, that He gave everything He had to get us back. The closest thing to His heart. to get us back. That must mean that you and I are the closest things to His heart. Did you ever think about that? If He loved Jesus so much, He gave Him for you. See, now somebody, you didn't think very much of yourself when you woke up this morning. You've been putting yourself down. You've been thinking how you don't line up and live up and measure up and all the rest of that. But in God's eyes, you do. You do. Isn't He good? Isn't He good? You who were once far off from far away from God, Paul said in Colossians 1. You were His enemies. You were separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. But now, He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ, the death in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His presence. I like to put myself in the picture here. He has brought me into His presence. And He's made me holy and blameless as I stand there before Him without a single fault. What a good God. What a good God. In fact, I just want to take a minute. This is unusual in service, but I've just felt His presence so strong here. I just want to take a minute and just worship Him and thank Him. Would you do that with me? Would you, Father? We love You. And we worship You. And we thank You for Your goodness. Jesus, thank You for coming and going to that cross for me. Thank You, Father, for wanting me back so much that You'd give everything, whatever it took, to get me back. We love You, Lord, and we want to live for You. We want to be more for You. Everybody just say praise the Lord. This is different service. This is different. Is that all right? Is it all right if it's different? Let me read you the text again out of the Amplified Classic translation. Says, but all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to Himself. That is, He received us into favor. He brought us into harmony with Himself. And He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. Wow. Wow. He also came in riding on a donkey. A colt. You know, it was customary in that day that if a king or a general had cities that they went through, and if they came in on a donkey, that meant they came in peace. It showed those that were in the city that, hey, everything's okay. I didn't come to get you. I came to bring peace. Everything's peaceful. I thought it was also interesting that when they were having a big battle, when they had victory in a big battle, that the kings or the generals would come in riding on a white horse. Made me go over to Revelation 19 and read for a little bit, because Jesus is going to come back. I mean, He's going to come back ready for battle. He's going to come back ready for judgment. He's going to come back and take care of all the evil, all the devil, and all His crowd. And He's going to come back on that white horse. And I really don't think that's very long away, very far away. But this first time He came in on a donkey. He came in to bring peace. He didn't come to judge you. He came to save you. He didn't come to get on you and condemn you. No, He came to give you a hand up. He came to give you eternal life. He came to love you. And let me just say, if you're here today, or you're listening to this on TV or by CD or internet, whatever, we right now are in this great, wonderful time of grace. And now is the time that we have to accept Him. Because the next time He shows up, He's showing up for battle. He's showing up to wrap this thing up. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to get as close to Him as I can get. How about you? Huh? And He made it possible. So this first time He comes in peace, and I couldn't help but think about this peace. The angel sang when He was born, said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. And how many know what He was talking about? They were talking about finally there's going to be peace between God and His creation. Finally, there's going to be peace. That's what Jesus was saying. That's what He was getting ready to do. I can't imagine what He went through. I can't imagine. None of us can. How many saw the show The Passion? And I've heard people say, oh, that was just so gross. I couldn't. That wasn't even close to how it really was. I mean, they said, Isaiah said they beat Him so badly that you couldn't even recognize that He was a human being. Josephus said they whipped Him so much that His organs fell out on the ground. Did that for me and for you. I'm glad I don't have to do that for Him. Huh? Because I'd probably chicken out. But I love what Paul said. Because of the joy that was set before Him, He just went right on through. Went right on through. Bible said they yelled, Hosanna! A cry of acclamation and adoration. They were hailing Him as King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The word actually means save, or save now, or you could say save us now, Hosanna. And even though in their minds they were expecting a literal king to come that would free them from this tyrant Roman government, even though they had that in mind, it wasn't going to be like they thought. But you know, God had something in His mind. He had something greater on His mind. To bring salvation to everyone in the world who would trust and believe and receive Him. His free gift. His free gift. Let me read the text again. 2 Corinthians says, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. A gift. Now I've got to repent here because I'll still do it. But I always say it's a free gift. It is, but God corrected me early this morning. It was dark and I couldn't see nothing and He had my attention. And He corrected me. He said, Hank, it's not free. It costs you everything you've got. Now, it's free in the sense that I don't have to earn it. I don't have to buy it. I don't have to do anything to deserve it. It's unmerited. But it's not free because He said, Hank, pick up your cross and follow me. It's not free, Hank, because I want everything you got. You see, we sometimes push this as this salvation as just a something we can just say a little prayer and then we could just go on. Because see, we want to hold on to what we want to hold on to, but we want to hold on to the heaven part too. And I'm not sure how all that works. But he said, if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. You with me? But he also said, you can't give up any of this stuff. Brethren, mothers, fathers, sisters, lands. You can't give up any of this stuff that you won't receive back 100-fold. You understand what he's talking about there? He's talking about you can't give up your families, the things that take first place in your life. You can't give up your wealth, your stuff, and you can't give up anything for God without him giving you back 100 times more than you gave up. But you have to give up. Because you see, I always look back and I go, God, how have I lived for you 44 years? I mean, sometimes it was a little shaky. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? But how have I stuck this? Hey, he said, well, when you started, you gave me everything. He gives it back to you. Well, most of it. He gives you back what is good. He takes away what you don't need. But when he gives it back to us, he gives it to us in the right perspective. So he said, I got to move on here. He said, this is a gift. So I'll keep saying it's a free gift. How many know it's a free gift if you give him everything you got? Huh? Boy, we only got two of us, Nate. I don't know. This is going over like a lead balloon. And you won't give up anything for him that he won't make it well worth your while. But let's look at the other half of this verse. How many glad you're saved? Huh? How many are doubting it now? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to doubt it. Say, well, Hank, you make me doubt whether I'm saved or not. I don't want to do that, but let me tell you something. If I can make you doubt it, the devil's going to have a field day with you. Huh? So let's get it fixed. Let's get it set in stone. And he's the stone. Build your house on him. I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? I'm glad he went through everything he went through for me. How about you? But let's look at the last half of that verse. He says, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And he has given us the task of reconciling others and bringing them into harmony with him. The Amplified Classic says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by our words and deeds we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. Now think about that. By our words and deeds we might purpose to bring others to God. To bring others. Is this salvation pretty good to you? Are you pretty happy about it? I am too. And then so it ought to make me want to share it with everybody I see. Let me just say something here. Is everybody awake? We'll go through the rest of this real fast. You'll want me to too, probably. But let me just say something. As great as this message is, I'm talking about the message of Jesus, not my message today. I'm talking about the message of Jesus. As great as this message is, as simple as it is to receive, in spite of the fact that it's a free gift, we don't have to earn it, people all around us are going to hell every day. I get on my phone, I don't take the newspaper, so I've got just two of the mortuaries in town here. I'm on their website, and they automatically send me an email every time somebody dies and they're at their funeral home. And folks, I'm going to tell you, man, I've been getting four and five a day from each one. In spite of how simple and great this message is and how easy it is to receive, there's people all around us every day going to hell. You know why? Because nobody tells them. Nobody tells them. Romans 8:13 says this, says, everyone who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whew, I like that. He didn't say, Hank, you got to straighten your life up. Hank, you got to quit doing all this. Hank, you got to change this and change that. No, he just said I had to call on him. And it wasn't until after I made him the Lord of my life that he began to work with me on the fixing stuff. Because if you try to fix everything before you get saved, you'll never get saved. I'm sorry, but you just got too much stuff to fix. And so do I. Because we were all sinners. Well, but if you read on, it goes on here and it says that everyone who will call on me will be saved. But he goes on here and he says, well, how can they call on him unless they believe? And then he says, well, you know, how can they believe if they haven't heard about him? And it says, then how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how can anybody tell them if they're not sent? He goes on here and just says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, bring the gospel. Can I tell you, you want to know how to walk smack dab in the middle of God's blessing? I'm talking about a place with God where you can't get away from His blessings. You just start witnessing and start telling people about the Lord. You got problems, you want to get all your problems in your life solved? Are you facing a mountain now? Won't you take that mountain that you're facing, put it aside, and today go find somebody and tell them about Jesus, and that mountain will crumble before your eyes. Goes on in verse 17 and says, faith to be saved comes by hearing the good news about Jesus. Huh? See, it isn't beat you up with the Bible and grab you by the throat and tell you better get your life straightened out and you better get saved and you're going to go to hell if you don't. Folks, that's a surety, but that didn't get me too good, did it you? No, but I'll tell you what, man, I've learned that when I start telling somebody about how good God is and how good Jesus is and what He did and what He made possible for us, and you know, not very many people don't want in on the deal. Well, the last thing Jesus said, when you compile Matthew and Mark and Acts and Luke and John, when you compile everything that He said at the end before he was taken up, ascended up, this is what He said. He said, you go and you receive the Holy Spirit so that you will have a power like no other power ever before to witness for me, and then you go into all your world and tell everybody you see about me. Now that's as simple as I know how to put it. So He sent us to tell people about Him. And if we tell people about them, they can hear what we tell them. And if they hear what we tell them, then they can have a chance to believe. And if they'll believe on Him, then they can call on Him and they'll be saved. Whew. Y'all looking awful sober here. Let me ask you a question. Everybody take a deep breath. Whew. Say, boy, thank goodness we're almost done. Everybody say, thank goodness we're almost done. All right, all right. I'm just trying to make sure you're awake. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Now, this isn't a get-on-you thing. Trust me, I've been thinking about this all week, and I thought I was doing pretty good till I got into the woodshed, you know. So by this morning, I was purposing in my heart, we're going to do some better things, man. We're going to do some of this stuff different. How many know we always have to stir ourselves up? Will you let me stir you up today? Don't get mad. I don't mean that way, but stir you up. See, Austin's not going to be mad at me, are you? When's the last time you did something or said something that pulled people to Jesus? Well, now let me say this. If you're part of this church and you pray for the church and you give, then you've been doing stuff that you don't even know about. Last week when these ladies got saved down here, you were a part of that. This week, all the good things that happened and the people that heard about the Lord, you were part of that. So don't think that you haven't been doing nothing, because you have. And that's why we want a strong church, right? Really, we only have one purpose as a church. I mean, we want to take care of each other and love each other and help each other, but our purpose is to go tell people about Jesus. Huh? And so we, corporately, we're doing stuff that's reaching people. I had somebody here a while back read my thought for the day, and they got saved that day. I mean, so something's happening, but you know, the truth is each of us are personally responsible to tell everybody we see about Jesus. You know, and it's not too hard to lead somebody to the Lord. It's just hard for us to get over the stigma and past the point where we're afraid to do it. I'm not going to ask how many's ever led somebody to the Lord, but if I did, I know we wouldn't get 100%. But it's not that hard, because see, we don't have to save people. The Holy Spirit does. We just have to tell them. Huh? In John 16, verses 8 through 10, Jesus is getting ready to go, and he says this. He says, "When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, that he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." That word sin, if you'll look in your book, it's a singular. It's not convict you of all your sins, which how many knows he shows us when we do things wrong. But if you read what he's saying there, he's here to convict the world of sin, the sin of them not receiving Jesus. See, if you're here today and you're not saved, and you listened to all this worship music, and you've listened to everything that's been said and done, and you don't know that you're right with the Lord, there's something going on in here. Huh? There's something in here drawing you and pulling you. See, that's the Holy Spirit. There's something in here that's saying, you know, you need to get your heart right with God, and going to give you a chance to do that in a minute. But see, he's not beating you up or yelling at you or screaming at you or telling you how bad he is. He's telling you how much God loves you and how much he wants you. And he's here to, that once we do that, he convinces us of our righteousness. He lets us see that there's only one way to be in right standing with God, and that's to receive Jesus as your Lord. And we're able to skip the judgment part, because if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But the only way we miss this judgment is by receiving Jesus as our Lord. And think about it. When you go up and witness to somebody or ask somebody to, now I'm going to tell you what, if you don't do it very often, it's hard to do it. So what I'm saying is, you maybe need to get practiced up. Because it's not just my job. And I'll be the first to tell you, I haven't done my job like I was supposed to. Well, I'm not. hey, I should get somebody saved every day. And matter of fact, in Jesus' name, I'm going to. How about you? Huh? Well, now, I don't know, Hank. Well, now, listen. If you go talk to somebody about the Lord, you don't have to save them. God's going to save them. If you go talking to them about the Lord, what happens? The Holy Spirit starts to work in here. You with me? If someone isn't saved, don't you know God wants them saved more than you do? How many know somebody that's not saved? How many stayed home today? A few of you. All right. How many know somebody that's not saved? Okay, finally, 100% participation. God wants them saved more than you do. Huh? He just wants an opportunity to move in their life. You know, we want to have some great plan. And you don't know how many times I hear the story. I hear, well, you know, I just believe it's going to work out. And I ask people, are you right with the Lord? And I go, well, hey, I'm a pretty good person. I do a lot to help people. And you know, come up with all kinds of things. You know, hold it this. We want some great plan before we go save somebody. Well, now, if he makes the sun come up over here instead of over here in the morning, and the dew falls here and it doesn't fall here, then I'll know I'm supposed to talk to them. I mean, wait till the stars all line up right, and we'll know we're supposed to witness. No. He said, if you call on Him, you'll be saved. If they believe, they'll call on Him. Huh? If they hear, they'll believe, and then they'll call on Him. Huh? If somebody tells them, they'll hear, and they'll believe, and then they'll call on Him. If somebody's sent to tell them, so they can hear, so they can believe, so they can call on Him, all it needs is somebody to tell them. Tell them. Well, and the thing is, He made it so simple that even a little bitty child can be saved. Now, don't fall out with me, because Christians, we just go fuzzy when we get talking about this kind of stuff. But I want God's blessing in your life and in your family. Huh? I want His blessing on you. I want when you walk down the street, if your shadow falls on somebody, I want them to know something happened. That's what God wants. It doesn't depend on you anyway. It just depends on you saying something. I just thought of a story, and I'll say it real quickly because I want to get it to something else here, but. Been years back, I was at a cell group. Pam and I were at a cell group. I was at Don Gary's house, and Bob Brewer was there, and he was talking about his dad. His dad wasn't saved, and I was listening to this, and he was telling all this stuff. And while he was telling this, he was about how his dad believed in God, but he just didn't believe in Jesus, and he just didn't believe that Jesus gave his life. And he's explaining all this in detail. And while he's saying this, I'm thinking, well, I can get him saved. If I could just run into him, I could get him saved. I don't say anything. I'm just thinking it. And after a minute or two, Pam looks over at me and she says, you can get him saved. And I said, yeah, I know it. And I said, Bob, come here. And so I start talking to him and he tells me all the details. I said, man, I said, if I could run into your dad, I said, I could get him saved. You know how we do? Well, okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah. Tomorrow we're not even thinking about it anymore. And I did too, but about 6 months later, somebody tells me his dad's in the hospital. I don't remember any of this. But I thought, well, I'll just go up and visit him and see how he's doing and pray for him. And I go up, and when I walked in the room of his door, the Holy Spirit reminded me of all that stuff. And to make a long story short, I went in. So I already knew what he didn't believe in. And so I just started talking about Jesus. And as I began to talk about him, the Holy Spirit began to move on his heart, and tears began to run down his face. And I said, "Well, Bob, would you like to ask Jesus into your heart?" And he said, "Yes, I would." The man got saved. A few months later, he died. He's in heaven now. Not because of Hank, but just because somebody told him. You see, when we're dependent on the Holy Spirit to do the work, it's not that hard to do it. I didn't go up there remembering everything. Just when I remembered he wasn't saved, I thought, well, that's why I'm here today. Well, I'm afraid I'll offend them, Hank. Well, if they get into hell, they're going to really be offended because you didn't tell them how to miss that place. Huh? Well, they might get mad at me. Well, I'm telling you what, when they're walking through those pearly gates, they're going to get glad again. Huh? They'll be apologizing you for the first 1,000 years you're up there. We don't have to be offensive, but we can share the love of God. How many know somebody that's not saved? How many have some family that's not saved? Whew, they're the hardest ones to talk to, aren't they? Huh? I'm just being honest. It's your responsibility to tell them. If you tell them and they don't do nothing with what you told them, then that's not on you. But it's your responsibility to tell them. And you know, you don't just do that. It says that we might aim to bring others in harm. We got to focus. We got to do it on purpose. And you just need to practice. You just need to say some stuff. You just need to hear yourself say it. Everybody say something with me. Is everybody going to participate so we can hurry and get out of here for lunch? Everybody say something with me. Are you a Christian? Everybody didn't say that. Everybody say this with me. Are you a Christian? Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Have you ever made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you ever given your life to the Lord? See, I'm talking about an intro into this conversation. Now look at the person next to you and say, "Are you saved?" Look them in the eye. Come on, look them in the eye. See, boy, whew, and that... Now look at somebody beside your husband and wife and say, "Are you a Christian?" Say something else with me. Would you like to be? The Bible says... Come on, you're losing me here. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning if you don't come on here. The Bible says that if we'll call on the name of the Lord, if we'll believe in Him, we'll be saved. The Bible says if we'll confess Him with our mouth, say that He's our Lord, and believe God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. See, now everybody say what we said the first thing. First thing we said, everybody say it again. Are you a Christian? How come it was so much louder that time than the first time? Because you started hearing yourself say it. People aren't going to get saved by accident. You're not going to lead somebody to the Lord by accident. What if you ask them if they're saved and they say no, and they say, "Would you like to be?" and they say no. Well, just say, "Okay, I'm going to be praying for you." Huh? I mean, you don't have to write a whole chapter. Because until they want to receive Him, are you with me? I just wanted to make this thing just real simple. See, when I first decided to be a soul winner, and I'm going to be doing this again this week, I went in the bathroom and looked in the mirror, and I just started talking to myself. I just started to say, "Do you know you're a Christian? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart?" Would you like to? Do you know if you're going to heaven or not? I'd like to tell you how you can get there. And there's only one way, and His name's Jesus. Are you with me? Practice it. Practice it. Now look at somebody again and say, are you a Christian? Now the truth is, you're going to see somebody today and tomorrow and Tuesday. But let me tell you, the first time you get over the hump, it gets easier after that. You'll be asking people without even thinking. You go, oops, I didn't know I was going to say that. But you'll be surprised how many people will say yes. I just asked a lady last week. I said, would you like to ask Jesus into your heart? And she said, yes. I went, I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to have to convince her. And I said, well, okay. And so I started praying. I said, just pray this and mean it. And she started saying it out loud. And I saw tears start coming in her eyes. And we got done. And I was just kind of curious. I said, well, something happened, didn't it? She said, yes. Yes. See, the something happening isn't up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit. Well, if you get somebody saved, you're going to have to do it on purpose. And if you're chicken, like we all are, it doesn't come natural to us because the devil doesn't want us to get anybody saved. And if you can't muster it up the first time, well, at least get them to come to church and we'll get them a chance to get saved in here. But don't let inviting them to come to church be an excuse or be a substitute for asking them if they're saved. Well, how many think it'd be a good idea if we'd be soul winners? Is that all? How many think it'd be a good idea if we'd be soul winners? Now you better raise your hand because I'm going to have people around you point at you if you don't. How many think it'd be a good idea if we were all soul winners? How many will try? Just say something with me right now. Holy Spirit, I don't really know how to do this, but I'm asking you to help me do it. I'm asking you to help me be a witness in everything I say and everything I do. When I get to heaven, I want there to be some people there because I helped them get there. Is that simple enough? Well, it says, by our words and our deeds, that we might aim to bring others into harmony with Him. Now I want everybody to bow your head and shut your eyes. Nobody look. How many here just would say, you know, Hank, nobody's looking, so this isn't a get on you or anything else, but how many in here would say, Hank, I'm going to start trying to witness. I'm going to start trying to be a soul winner. Come on, if that's it, just raise your hand and then put it back down. Praise God, almost everybody. Now there's some more of them. All right. What if this was the last week we had? And if we didn't tell somebody about Jesus this week, they wouldn't make it. Something to think about, huh? So as we think about what Jesus did for us this final week of His life, let's tell people what He did for us and what He did for them. How many in here, if you died right now, you know you're saved and you know you'd go be with God? Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? I wonder who in here you don't know for sure. Nobody's looking. Just raise your hand if you don't know for sure, but you say, I want to know. Come on, anybody who? Okay, thank you, ma'am. Who else? You don't know for sure. Thank you. Who else? Come on. I want to know for sure. I want to know something else too. How many in here You've been saved, but you just haven't been living for the Lord like you know you should. And you'd say today, I want to start. I want to rededicate. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Who else? Do you really want to know? I'm going to have everybody stand. We're going to sing a song here and we're done. But if you raised your hand, and maybe you didn't raise it, but you wanted to, either you don't know for sure, or you just haven't been living where you're supposed to live, but you're gonna make a new commitment today. If that's you, I want you to come down. Let one of us pray with you. Hurry! Don't wait. Thank you, ma'am. You're stepping out. Thank you, sir. Come on, just hurry. Come on down. Come on. Every one of us have done this. Thank you. Who else is coming? Come on. You don't know for sure, you come. Maybe you just want to make sure. Maybe you just want to get it straight out. But if there's any question in your mind, you need to take care of it today. While you're feeling that inside of you, while the Holy Spirit's drawing you, do you feel that? He's not getting on you. He's loving you. He's telling you how much your Father loves you. That's what you're feeling in there, is love and that drawing power. If He's dealing with your heart, come on. Come on down. Hurry. Hurry. We went a little longer than I planned, so I can't just keep belaboring this like I wanted to. But if you don't know for sure, come on down. If there's any question in your mind, you come. Thank you. Thank you. And I believe He not only saved us, but I believe that by His stripes we were healed. If you need that, come on down right now. Join these that have come. Sandy, Anita, pray with this lady. Who else? Come on. You raised your hand. Come on. Did you mean it? Come on. Hurry, we're gonna stop. We're gonna stop. Come on, who else? Come on. Oh, God loves you. He loves you and cares about you. Praise the Lord. Need somebody to pray with this man. Greg, come pray with him. Who else? Come on. Sing one more verse. If you'd hurry up and come, your dinner wouldn't get cold. Hurry. I just don't want to leave without giving you the opportunity. And you know God's dealing with your heart. And if that's you He's dealing with, come on down. Hurry. Come on down. Anybody else? Come on. I'm waiting on you. You say, but I didn't raise my hand. I know, but God told me He was touching your heart. He wants to do something big inside of you right now. You gonna come? I'm gonna dismiss us, and if you raised your hand or you didn't, but you know God's dealt with you, you come on down after service and we'll still pray with you, because we want you to know for sure. We want you to know for sure that you've received that price and that you're going to heaven. How many's glad you're going to heaven? How many's going to try to help somebody else get there? Praise the Lord. Hey, I love you. I speak His blessings on you. And I believe Him to do big things in your life today and this week. And I believe us all to draw closer to Him this week than we've ever been before. You believe that? You receive that? Say, I take it. It's mine. Hey, I love you. Thank you for putting up with me. Lord bless you, and let Him be big in your life. If you still need to come, we'll still be happy to pray with you. Thank you.